I want you to give a loud welcome. He's going to share with us just how he's drawn into this, how God arranged this, what he's doing right now, what's going on in Ethiopia, and how this church planting is going, and the amounts of money which make possible a new church in villages where there is no gospel witness. But I don't need to belabor this because he's going to tell us. I want you to give him a really loud welcome. Okay, come on, let's welcome Pastor Ray Noah.
Wow, thank you so much. It is so nice to be with you tonight here at Brooklyn Tabernacle on a Tuesday evening prayer service. Lynn and I are just delighted to be here tonight. And this is a church that we've admired and been inspired by from afar for many, many years. And we believe that God has raised Brooklyn Tabernacle up as a vanguard church to be a blessing and an inspiration to the body of Christ at large. And you have been that. And I just want to thank you for being who you are. Thank you for following God's plan for you and for fulfilling God's destiny for Brooklyn Tabernacle. You are an inspiration. I'm sure you've heard this before, but you are an inspiration to so many people. And thank you, Pastor Simbla, for inviting us to share this moment. I'm sure the pastors all around the world would love this opportunity, and I feel humbled and privileged to do this, to stand in this pulpit tonight. And we have been blessed over the years by your ministry as well. And to be able to stand here in the same place that week by week you deliver the Word of God, not only to this congregation, but to the body of Christ at large, is such an honor for us. So thank you for the invitation. And then it's a delight to be with some new friends of ours. We have grown to love them in the short amount of time that we have been with them. They are such a delight. They joined our team in Ethiopia this last November, our training team, as we put on a couple of church planters training conferences each year. And I just got to tell you, they were absolutely amazing. Our team of teachers from my church in Portland and from various parts of the United States immediately loved this couple. They bonded with them so quickly. And not only that, but the Ethiopian church planters fell in love. You could just tell there was this immediate connection, this immediate love to this very, very special couple. And they did a fantastic job ministering and training and inspiring, equipping these church planters. And you could tell that they themselves had such an immediate love and a connection with Ethiopia. And I'm speaking, of course, of Pastor Brian and Susan Petrie. And we just absolutely love them right away, partly because they are so goofy about Ethiopia. Has that been apparent to you, that they kind of like Ethiopia? They are goofy about Ethiopia. And that's okay with me, because I'm kind of crazy about Ethiopia as well. You see, several years ago, God dislocated my heart. Did you know that can happen to you? God dislocated my heart for that nation. And to this day, I've not gotten over it. It has changed my life. It has changed my ministry. I think it has changed the trajectory of my future, and I will never be the same. I got pulled into planting churches in Ethiopia by a friend, my spiritual father and ministry mentor, just a wonderful man in the Lord, a guy by the name of Charles Blair. Dr. Charles Blair pastored the historic Calvary Temple Church in Denver, Colorado. I was his executive pastor for many, many years. He's just recently gone home to be with the Lord. But at 84 years of age, God gave him a vision. 84 years of age. How many 84-year-olds here and above? God gave him a vision at 84 years of age to plant 1,000 churches in a remote region of Ethiopia among unreached people. And I'll never forget the day I was sitting in my office and the phone rang and it was Charles. And Charles began to blurt out this crazy vision to plant these 1,000 churches in Ethiopia. And he had a 2-year window of time to do it. He had been invited by the president of that federal region. There are 9 federal regions in Ethiopia. This particular one had a president that was a Christ follower, the only evangelical Christian in the entire national government. And he had 2 years left in his term of office. The other members of his cabinet were all Muslim. And he said, I've got a 2-year window and I want to use my position to do something for Jesus. I want to use my influence to extend the kingdom of God. And so he said, I've got all these villages that have never heard the gospel. And if I can get somebody to help me to plant churches, I know that I can win my region to Jesus. And so he began to ask around. He asked all of the denominations in Ethiopia. He asked ministries. He checked everywhere. And they all said, it's a great idea. You should do it, but we can't help you. And finally, he found my friend and mentor, Charles, who had been involved in work in Ethiopia in the past. And so, long story, he got a hold of him, and he told him about this opportunity to plant 1,000 churches. And he said, would you help me? And my friend said, yeah, I'll help you. 84 years old. I'll do it. I will plant 1,000 churches for you in 2 years. And so Charles called me up. And he began to describe this opportunity and this vision, and he had no resources to do it. He didn't have much of a plan to do it. He just knew that God had called him to do it. And he asked me, he says, does that sound like a great idea? And I thought, my goodness, you're 84 years old. Maybe you should lay down and take a nap. But I was so inspired by his Caleb-like spirit. Remember Caleb in the Old Testament? He said, there's a mountain and I want it. It's mine. I'm going to take it. And I thought, that's a Caleb spirit in that man. And he said, do you think this is a great idea? And I said, I think it's a great idea. Anytime God gives a vision like that to an 84-year-old, it's got to be from God. And then he said, well, you think it's a good idea? Will you help me? And I thought, boy, he trapped me. I've got to help him now. So his excitement was contagious, and I committed to helping him. And we figured out how to plant a church, to resource and train the pastor, to provide Bibles for the new converts that we believed that God was going to give us. And we figured out that we could do this for a one-time investment of $1,850 per church. Now, you try to build a church in America for $1,850. I don't know. I don't think it can be done. Maybe it can, but it would be close to impossible. But we figured out our formula. We figured out we could do it for that much. And so we went to work. We went to work, and in 2 years, with no money, with no organization, we raised nearly $2 million. And on the final day of that 2-year window, the final day, we planted our 1,000th church. God helped us. And in that remote, unreached, far western region of Ethiopia, we planted those churches, and we saw thousands and thousands of people who had never heard of the name of Jesus get saved and added to the church. The area that we went to, this is back in 2003, was called the Benishango Gumuz region. It's the size of, relatively the same size as the state of West Virginia. Had 700,000 people in about 3,000 villages, and only 6 churches in that entire area, 6 evangelical churches when we got there. Now listen to this. Now, 9 years later, there are 1,700 churches and 100,000 disciples. <laughs> 59,000 people have been baptized in water. The kingdom of God is expanding. The church is growing. And one day soon, mark my word, one day soon, the Benishango Gumuz region will belong to Jesus Christ. Just do the math. 100,000 people right now, and it is spreading like a wildfire. And along the way, God dislocated my heart for Ethiopia and for unreached people especially, and for planting churches, planting local churches, and for changing the world. That's not just something I say anymore. That's just not something that we say, hey, we can change the world. I have seen how we can change the world. One life, one village, one planted church at a time. And God has put it in my heart. God has dislocated my heart for Ethiopia, for Africa, and for changing the world. And I'm crazy enough to believe that the Church of Jesus Christ coming together, getting a vision, going after it, we can change the world. You see, the local church is the hope of the world. I want to say that again. The local church is the hope of the world. because the local church planted in a village is the best and the most compelling expression of Jesus in the world today. The local church is the hope of the world. And wherever it gets planted, the flow of redemption into that community, into that village, begins to change lives, individuals, families, entire communities through the transforming tide of the gospel. The gospel comes in and saves souls, but redemption begins to lift everything in the village, and life gets better. The kingdom of God comes, and we can change the world through planting local churches wherever God leads us. You know, I think that's exactly what Jesus had in mind for his disciples back then in that day that he walked with them in Israel and Palestine. I think is what Jesus has in mind for us as his disciples today, that we would plant churches all around the world and see the kingdom of God grow and see the influence of the gospel take over this world, to reach and transform the world by preaching the good news and making disciples of those who believe through planting local churches. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said this, something very, very powerful. He said, "Upon this rock," you know this, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I will build my church. And so I'm on a mission as just one pastor of a local church to lead my church and to inspire as many other pastors and churches as I can to get busy fulfilling Christ's declaration by planting churches, especially among the unreached people of the world. God gave me a vision to plant 10,000 churches in Ethiopia, to preach the gospel to 10 million Ethiopians who've never heard before, to see a million converts being turned into disciples who make disciples who make disciples in the next 10 years. 10,000 churches, 10 million people, a million converts. It's a crazy vision, isn't it? It is a crazy vision, but it's happening. I'm telling you, it's happening. Our church, the church I pastor in Portland, Oregon, has embraced that vision. And in the last 2 years, we have planted one church. We have planted 363 churches in the western part of the Oromia region in Ethiopia. Those churches that we have planted have in turn planted other churches. That's what we do. We plant churches that plant churches that plant churches. We make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Those 363 churches that we have planted have now planted in less than 2 years another 236 churches, giving us in less than 2 years, 21 months, 599 churches in an area that had no gospel witness. And now in this new territory that we're in, we have 79,418 new converts that are in those churches being discipled. We have seen 30,000 people baptized in water. We have raised up 2,000 new leaders within those churches. So between those two regions, the one that we started in and the one that we're working in now, almost in the last 8 years, 9 years, 2,300 churches have been planted. 170,000 disciples are being made in those churches. And in a few years, friends, in a few years, all of Ethiopia will belong to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are out to change the world, and we're going to do it. We're watching a veritable Book of Acts type revival take place before our very eyes. In fact, I feel like we're writing Acts chapter 29. You know, the book of Acts ends at chapter 28. But it doesn't really end. If you have your Bible, you look at it, you'll see that there's no "the end." The writer, Dr. Luke, doesn't say "the end." He doesn't say, "That's all, folks." It just kind of drops off. I think that's strategically important because the Holy Spirit willed it to be that way when he inspired Luke to record the history of the early history of the church. because it was only the beginning of what God wanted to do through the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. The book of Acts is still being written today, and I feel like he's given us a chapter to write. Acts chapter 29 is taking place, and we are seeing book of Acts type things taking place throughout wherever we go to plant these churches. Signs and wonders and miracles, healings, deliverances, the dead being raised. I have so many stories of the dead being resurrected. The stories I could tell you tonight if I had time would make your toes curl. It's so amazing what God is doing in that place. Like the early disciples, through the unstoppable growth and influence of the church, we are seeing an entire region surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And in the process of changing the world, we ourselves are being transformed. You can't help but be changed when you take on caring for the things that God cares about. That was a direct word from the Lord when we launched into this crazy vision, this church planning plan that was going to require more resources than I had access to, that I knew how to get a hold of, to step out in faith to do that while we were maintaining our other ministries and our other missions investments around the world. When I was fretting about how we were going to do that, the Lord spoke directly to my spirit. And he said this to me. He said, if you will take care of the things that I care about, lost people, I will take care of the things that you care about. And I want to give that to this church. I want to give that to you as a word from the Lord as well. If you will dedicate yourself to taking care of the things that God cares about, lost people, God will take care of the things that concern you. Your finances, your health, your healing, that's God's promise, not mine. God's promise to you, to this church, to his people everywhere that will dedicate themselves to taking care of God's concerns. That's been our testimony. And in my life, my family, in our church, God has blessed us. God has blessed our finances. God has given us uncommon fruit. We've seen tens of thousands of converts come into those churches to the glory of God. And he has given us, as maybe as much as anything else, this incredible sense of eternal significance. And just being his servants in that faraway land of going and blessing the church and seeing all of these people come to know Jesus. Wow, what it has done for us, the sense of satisfaction and significance and eternal success has been priceless. We have become, as a church, I have become as a pastor, intensely missionary and insanely blessed. Intensely missionary and insanely blessed. Both our church corporately, and I've watched that take place in the lives of our people individually. Let me tell you the story of Dawn, a lady named Dawn, and how this has changed her life and given meaning, new energy to her. She heard me tell this Ethiopian story. And as I was telling this story, I had mentioned that in one of these villages that a lady who had five children had come to know Jesus as her Savior. And her husband was not open to the gospel. In fact, he was very hostile to it. And because his wife surrendered to Christ, he kicked her out of his home with her five kids. Kicked them out with no means of support in an already very, very poor country. And I told this lady's testimony in my church as we were raising money and gaining resources and getting people to commit to helping us to do this. And a couple of weeks after I had told that story, this lady named Dawn came up to me. And she was crying. And Dawn had recently been widowed. Her husband, she's 40 years old, her husband had tragically died, leaving Dawn as a widow and a daughter about 8 years old, and they were really a very poor family already, so she was left with really no support whatsoever. And a couple of weeks after sharing this story, Dawn came up to me and she pulled me aside. I really didn't know who she was at that point, but she pulled me over and she was crying. Tears were coming down her face and she was apologizing to me for not being able to help. I'm so sorry, Pastor. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? I can't do anything to help you plant churches in Ethiopia. And as she's telling me this story, I'm saying it's okay. You don't have to help. If you can't, then don't worry about it. If God didn't tell you or supply the need, don't worry about it. And as she's telling me this story, she's trying to hand me a $100 bill. And I'm a little nervous whenever a congregation member tries to hand me money. It just doesn't look real good for the pastor to be getting money like that. And I was trying to back away from her, but she kept shoving this money at me. She says, will you take this? Will you take this and use it in Ethiopia? Will you use it to help this poor widow, this poor woman who had been kicked out of her home? So I took the money and I said, you don't understand. Maybe you're poor and you don't feel like you can have a part in this church planting effort, but do you realize what $100 means in Ethiopia? $100 to that woman who has been abandoned? That is like a half a year's salary to her. Yes, you can make a difference. This will make a difference in her life. I will see to it that she gets that. So Dawn walked away. She felt a little more encouraged after that exchange. And a couple weeks later, Dawn pulled me aside again. And this time she's trying to stick another $100 bill in my hand. And she said, Pastor, you wouldn't believe what happened, but I got a call from the IRS and they had overcharged me on my taxes as we were figuring out my husband's estate. And I got some money back. Here's the $100 I got back. Will you add this to the pot? I said, absolutely. We'll add this to the pot. A couple of weeks later, she came back. She had $300 that the Lord had marvelously supplied to her. And she said, Pastor, can you build a house for $300 in Ethiopia? Can you build her a house so she has a place to stay? This woman and her five children were living in the most deplorable conditions you can imagine. I wish I could show you a picture of it. And I said, I don't know if we can build it for $300, but let me find out. And it turns out that the house could be built at that time in that village for about $800. So now we have $500 from Don, and I thought, I'm going to kick in $300. We're going to build a house for that lady. So we did. We built a house for this poor woman and her five kids that are now living, and they have a new lease on life. And then we built another house for another poor woman that didn't have a place to stay and her kids in that same village. And then Dawn came back to me a few weeks later and she said, Pastor, I want to take on support for the church in that village. I want to pay the salary of that pastor, $45 a month. Can I do that? I said, absolutely, you can do that. And so we have been blessing this community largely through the effort of a poor widow woman in my church named Dawn. I recently went back to that village and it was amazing what we saw. The church that we had that we were helping to support there had actually knocked out the back part of their church and they were adding on to it. And I said, what in the world is going on? And the pastor said, the community has been watching what is happening here. They've been very hostile to us, but they see the kindness and the love of these people from America bringing and building homes and bringing clothes and helping this poor widow, these poor women, that they have opened up to the gospel, and we cannot contain all the people in our church now because they are coming to know Jesus Christ. This God who inspires his people to show kindness to people, we want to know about that. The gospel has come to that village, and it is being changed. All because a young woman, a poor widow in America, decided to help. She decided to use what she had, which wasn't very much. She took what she had in her hands, but you know, a little, if we take it and put it in God's hands, it's a lot. It's more than enough. Dawn said to me the other days, with, again, tears streaming down her face, she said, you don't understand what this has done for me. You don't understand what this has released in me. I thought I was too poor. I thought I was too small. I thought I was too insignificant to do anything for God. But now I'm changing the world. I'm changing lives. I'm changing families. I'm changing a village. I get to be a part of changing the world just because I was able to step out in faith and offer God what I had in faith and in obedience. And now God is using that. And now, Pastor, I have a story too. I told Don, I said, Don, I'm going to tell your story when I go back to Brooklyn Tabernacle. And thousands of people are going to know that there is a poor widow woman in Portland, Oregon, who is making a difference in Africa. She's changing lives. She is changing the world. She has a story to tell. Do you want your life to count? Do you want a story of your own? Do you want to change the world? Begin to take care of the things that God cares about, and God will take care of the things that you care about. He will give you success as he defines success. He will give you satisfaction that money can't afford, fame can't afford, power can't afford. He will give you eternal significance. He will make you a part of a story that you have only dreamed about. So, I challenge you to open up your heart, open up your hands, open up your life, and say, God, here I am. Use me. If we do that, we can change the world. This church has been used mightily already. But I got to tell you, my sense, you ain't seen nothing yet. God has some incredible things for you to do. And I believe that Brooklyn Tabernacle, like Portland Christian Center, like this poor widow woman, is going to change the world. So I want to thank you in advance for praying for Ethiopia. Pastor, thank you for praying for Ethiopia. Just a couple of things about it. Ethiopia is about 70 million, 75 million people. About 40% of those are from the Orthodox tradition, which is very hostile toward true Christianity. About 30% of the nation is Muslim. And the Muslim world right next door up in Saudi Arabia is pushing into Ethiopia. It's the gateway to Africa. They're pushing in. They're spending money. They're building mosque. Throughout the year, they're building mosque after mosque after mosque, trying to win that nation to Islam. 30% Islam. A lot of people just worship whatever, worship trees, worship spirits. Witchcraft is huge. But 100 years ago, there was only a handful of born-again Christians. Today, 18% of the population belongs to Jesus, and it's growing. It is growing so fast. And so as you pray for Ethiopia, I hope that you will join me and pray that one day soon, all of Ethiopia will belong to Jesus Christ. It is strategically, prophetically important to the rest of Africa. It's the gateway. I think it's strategic to the Middle East and the gospel getting into the Saudi Peninsula. It is a very, very important country in the Horn of Africa. The Bible talks a lot about Ethiopia. It says one day Ethiopia will lift her hands to God. I believe that this is Ethiopia's time. So pray with us for that. Pray with us as we launch a new initiative to plant 392 more churches. 392, that's the number of unreached villages in a territory right next to the one that we're working in right now. So we're this year launching into planting another 392 churches. That's going to take some resources that I don't have, but God has all the resources that we need. And you pray with me that he will release those in his way, through his people, in his time. And then lastly, I want to ask you to pray with me as well for the new nation of South Sudan. God has opened up a door, and we're going over in the next couple of weeks to begin to lay out a plan to plant some churches there as well. So Sudan is going to belong to Jesus as well. And so would you pray ahead of time that God will bring the right people, the right circumstances, the right resources to be able to shake that nation as well? Africa is very, very special to God. Something big is happening there. God is stirring something, and we get to be a part of it. And so let's open up our hearts and say, God, here we are. Use us to win that continent for you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. Thank you, Pastor.